throw here. We're finishing our series on the book of, not the book of Revelation, but two chapters from the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, just to remind us, is all about Jesus. He is the overcomer. We're looking at the message to the seven churches, particularly found in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. And we've gone the full circuit now. We're ending up at Laodicea. That's where we'll be stopping today. Jesus is the overcomer. He's the victor. He's the champion. That should be good news to you, good news to me, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but in me, you may have peace, because I have overcome the world. So take heart. The world gets tough out there. It's got all kinds of sinful degradation. I don't have to explain to you. Just look at the news, and you'll see how tough the world is. So we've got fightings from without, fightings from within, and then even in ourself, we have to deal with these desires that if they're not submitted to Christ, they become sin. Desires of pleasure, desires for possession, desires for reputation, not submitted to Him. This is this thing we struggle with, but He says, take heart, I have overcome the world, and through me, you can be overcomers as well. And that's what we've been listening to in these chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. The life and the rewards of champions. Just reflecting on where we've been a little bit, go slow on this. The rewards of a champion. This is what's promised. If you overcome, if you carry on and become victorious as a life, as a Christian, is given the privilege to feast on the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Once more, paradise restored. Great place, great food in the presence of our God. We're given the crown of life from the King of Suffering. He who had to die on the cross but rose again from the dead promises us a crown of life. Is given personal gifts of hidden manna, a white stone with a new name. Very personal for just you, for me, for every champion, these personal gifts that mean something between God and us, God and me, God and you. Is given authority over the nations and the morning star. We share in Christ's authority and glory. We may feel like we're little things on this planet right now, but in the future, no, you're going to share over the authority over the nations and the morning star, this brilliant glory for the glory of God. Clothed in white garments, again reflecting glory and purity. We'll have His name, or our name, in the book of life. We'll be introduced by name by Jesus. And I really like that one, with God the Father before His angels. You know, here is James, but saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's going to say. He's going to introduce you and I to the triune God. We'll be a pillar in the temple of God. We will have three names written on us. Name of God, name of the city of God, and Jesus' new name. Everybody looks like they're pretty clean on tattoos, but you know, some of my boy, my David, he's got his sleeves and all tattoos all over. And each tattoo has a special meaning. Now, I don't know what these spiritual tattoos are all about, but it's going to be written on us that we belong to Him. This is our city, you know. This is who we are, our identity. And usually when you get a tattoo, it kind of gives you, you're trying to express to others who you really are. This is something that's promised by God. I will give three names written on it. Name of God, name of the city of God, and Jesus' new name. Who are you? I'm not just a pilot. I'm not just a pastor. Who are you? You belong to God, this city. That's who you are. And you're going to find out about that, and I'm going to find out really, you know, how's it? Is it kind of invisible? You only see it if you look at it a certain way. I don't know. But it's going to be a spiritual name of God, name of the city of God, and we belong to Him and Jesus. Today we come to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. If you got a bulletin, the scripture should be in your handout there. And the title is Be Zealous and Repent. One pastor says Making God Gag. That was his title for this. And you'll see when we talk about the lukewarm church what's going on there. But beginning with verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. The words of the Amen. That's an unusual phrase, isn't it? what's going on here. Well, the amen. It's what is it? What was that? You know, in John's, let's see if I got this. Here we go. The Greek is on the left, and the Hebrew is the next word, and then the English word is amen. And both are pronounced, interestingly enough, amen. If you pronounce Hebrew or Greek, it's amen. And 29 times in the New Testament, you'll find amens, and 9 are in Revelation. You remember John's gospel where he says, I think if you look at John 1, around verse 51, he begins, he says these things, truly, truly, I say to you, or if you grew up cutting your teeth on the King James Version, it was, verily, verily, I say unto you. Got a few nods out there? Okay. That means amen, amen. Amen, amen, I say to you. Okay. Don't get scared. Keep it up. Caleb's going to turn me down. Michael's going to turn me down. For the promises of God, these are some of my favorite amen verses. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God and for His glory. I can remember praying with Natalie in a group, and she prayed this prayer out so beautiful. You know, all the yeses are we utter our amen to God for His glory. Really, really great verse. That should be 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. A couple of my favorite from Revelation. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. That's the last verse. That's the last verse of the Bible in Revelation. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now this one, you might not see it. You shall leave your name to my chosen for a curse, and the Lord God will put you to death, but his servants he will call by another name. So that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and he who takes an oath from the land shall swear by the God of truth, because of the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes. And this comes from Isaiah 65, verse 15 and 16. But this God of truth in the Hebrew is the Elohim Amen. Elohim Amen. God truth. God Amen. Amen. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. What you're about to hear, listen, Laodicea, is truth itself. So listen. This is not somebody's idea. This is truth itself speaking. And what about that thing, the beginning of God's creation? Well, it doesn't mean that Jesus was created. The truth was created. No, truth is eternal. One of my favorite passages from Colossians 1 speaks of Jesus, and it says, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. So Jesus is the origin of beginnings. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. And that word is archa. He's the archa, the beginning of the origins. He's the amen, the faithful and true witness. So listen up, okay? Listen. See what he's going to say. I know your words. DBICC, I know your words. Listen, Amy Bramley, he knows your words. Bonnie and James Butler, he knows our words. He knows our strengths, he knows our weaknesses, he knows our faithfulness, and he knows our failure. Jesus knows you, He knows me completely. He knows Laodicea. He goes on to describe them. He says, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot, but you're neither of these things. What are you? So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Just by, you won't find this in the Bible, but through historical records we begin to discover the water supply to Laodicea, how it got there. 6 miles to the north lay the city called Hierapolis, and famed for its hot springs. Near my hometown in North Carolina, there's a city called Hot Springs. Whenever I watch these travelogues, you know, often, whether it's Korea or Japan, people like to go to hot springs. There's hot springs in China. Are there hot springs in the Philippines? Okay, so you like to go to these places. It's relaxing, it's really good, and, you know, it's enjoyable, and it has a purpose, healing purpose. But 10 miles to the east of Laodicea lay Colossae, and known for its cold, pure drinking water. That's one thing I will brag about North Carolina, mountain water. If you can get that out of a pure spring, wow, it's cold and refreshing. There's no water like it in the world. Laodicea had no water, and their water had to be piped via aqueduct from this Venice place. And here's some, I think I can give us a, yeah. So here's the city we're talking about who's lukewarm. And actually their water would travel by aqueduct from here. And they didn't have any natural water supply, and so it would be lukewarm by the time it gets there. The aqueducts in their time were like pipes that are completely enclosed, but it was open. And so the hot sun, by the time you got there and the time you got it to where you could drink it, it's hot. But over here we've got Colossae is what? The nice cool water. Up here in the hot water. So I think that was an interesting little tidbit of history to tie in with this. So Christ says, I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. How many of you like Dafufah? How many of you know what Dafufah is? Same people raise their hand. it's a tofu drink, more of a dessert, right? You can buy it cold or hot, but usually we buy it warm. And I can remember we had some extra that we had bought from this little guy who'd come around our neighborhood in Kowloon Tong and say, Dafufah, you know, and he went, yeah, I'm going to buy some Dafufah. And he'd go out there, and David really loved it, our youngest son. He ran out there and we did enjoy it. I think one time we got one little container too many, put it in the refrigerator, and I take it down to the garden. I often wondered if that's what I should do after retirement, be a guard. It's kind of cool. And these guards love to say hello. You know, you never know about their background. You think they're just simple guards? I'm not so sure. I think some of them could be money people who like doing this because they get to see people every day, and the little babies come up, you know, they get the pension. Say, tell Abak Joe something. But when I take out, I'm going down, I said, hey, Abak, granddad, you want some tofu dessert? He said, sure. And he put that stuff in his mouth, he started, he spit it out just like that. He says, it's cold! Because he was expecting to be warm. Jesus is saying to Laodicea, you're either cold or hot, I'm going to spit you out. Okay, you guys don't know who Abak is over in Kalimantan, but how about this guy? You know who he is? Now, do you think that water is lukewarm? That's why he spits it out? Not really. Not really. One of the things we learn in sports is particularly if you start to coach at a certain higher level, you want to keep your players hydrated. What's that mean? You want them watered up to here. Because if you're watered up to here, you can play and perform a lot better. Never think that you can drink too much water. Because these guys are going to go out. You watch Nadal when he plays tennis. That guy is one dripping shower, isn't he? Because his system is programmed where it's always getting the fluids in and out. And so this is what Cristiano Ronaldo from Madrid is doing, is keeping himself hydrated. He's probably had enough and said, okay, I'm going to spit it out. washed out of his mouth. I don't know. But he spit it out for some reason. But it's not because it was lukewarm. Now, this is more like it. This Jeff Larson does some cartoons about churches and stuff. And so this guy is spitting out his coffee. And he says, "Your faith is not hot or cold, but lukewarm. So I will spit you out like room temperature church coffee." So I haven't seen anybody do that yet here, but if you've had a bad cup of coffee, you probably spit it out too. Right? Perhaps not so funny is this statement: "The greatest danger the world faces is not radical Islam, but lukewarm Christianity." I think they're both dangerous. They're both dangerous. I'm quite sure I'd say it's the greatest danger, but yeah, it is a great danger to be lukewarm Christians. But what's going on here? What does a lukewarm Christian look like? And Jesus helps us. He wants us to understand it. And that's found in our next verse, in verse 17. "For you say, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing." Self-congratulatory bragging in their achievements. And not realizing what? They're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and negative. So they think they're something that they're not because of what they have gained materially. When actually they're poor and wretched, blind, and here comes the naked slide. Naked. Laodicea was a wealthy city. It was at a crossroads of commercial activity, and that's why they didn't have their own water supply. But it was a great place to trade and do business, and as you trade and did a lot of commerce, what happened? Well, then you had a good banking, a financial structure formed, and that's where you had a lot of gold, okay? So the banking was a banking center. They had a garment-making center, black wool. It's called glossy black wool, and they were known for that. And thirdly, they were known for pharmaceuticals, and particularly eye salve, made from what was known as Phrygian powder, and it would make salve that would be put on eyes and help your eyes heal from infections. If you've ever had red eye, you wonder, well, how do you treat red eye? Well, they have this salve kind of thing to help treat red eye. Well, all of these are going to be used by Jesus in his admonition that's coming up. This gold, the clothing, and the salve. In 60 AD, Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake. And they rebuilt the city with their own funds. They didn't ask Rome to help them out. Now, a lot of natural disasters that happened in North America, was it Harvey and Irma, the big hurricanes that took out a lot of places, and particularly, I think, of Houston, Texas, Panama, and Central America, very much affected. And what do? They cry out, "Help us, United States government." You know, the fires in California, these natural disasters. "Help us, United States government, because we got a national disaster." Well, this was a national disaster. The whole city was torn down. But they built it back because they had the money. They were also great friends with Rome, too. They liked the Roman Empire. So they had the wealth. Jesus said, "For you say I'm rich, I have prospered, and need nothing." Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So that's the lukewarm thing, okay? That's the awfulness of the lukewarm stuff. But what's the solution? Well, Christ says, okay, I counsel you to buy from me. I know a few of you, I won't call you out by names, but I know a few of you guys are involved in financial consultancy and banking industry, that kind of thing. Met a new man yesterday at J.P. Morgan. He's at the picnic. It was great to meet him and his family. And, tell me, what should I be investing in? One of my investor friends just went, So what should I be investing in? Well, Jesus said, hey, I'll tell you what you should be investing in. What you should be investing in, I counsel you to buy from me. You know what I'm going to be selling you? I'm going to be selling you some gold refined by fire. Gold was what, 1,200 U.S. accounts or something? Okay, you gold investors out there, Jesus is saying to you, he's saying to me, I want you to buy gold from me so that you may be rich. Don't be deceived. This stuff is passing away. You can't take it away when you die. It matters not how much your portfolio is worth. Okay, I want to counsel you, buy from me gold. Okay. And then he says, and not only why are you doing that, I want you to buy white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. We're made in God's image, the shame of our nakedness. What is this all about? It's we're ashamed. We have to wear clothing because why? You ever wonder about that? Caleb and I are wondering about that. So why do we wear clothes? There's a bit of a shame that comes from being naked and being seen for who we really are, because we know something is wrong in this. We're not completely pure and holy anymore. But the future, you can bank on it, we wear clothing, guys, okay? We don't run around having naked. We wear clothing, but this clothing communicates a holiness. It communicates a radiance of purity. And he says, I'm the one who can sell these type of white garments, and they're a lot better than that black, glossy wool stuff you sell. And you know what? While you're at it, you need to buy from me this ointment you put on your eyes so that you can really see. You know, and Paul in Ephesians say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, your eyes of your heart may be open, that you may see all the riches you have in Christ Jesus. And this is what the Spirit is saying to Laodicea church. Look, real riches are found in Christ. Okay, there's one artist, you know, do I want this stuff? Well, no, I don't want that stuff. But Jesus is promising these things, his very beautiful things. But how do you buy it? We sing the song, Jesus paid it all, right? We're supposed to buy this stuff from him? Well, we can't get this gold that is everlasting, pure, refined gold in this great garment, in this great medicine for our eyes to really see the way we should see. But he gives it to us. He says, to those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Those whom I love, I reprove discipline, so be zealous and repent. So the first thing, the only way we can get the riches that Christ offers is to truly believe and repent. You've heard the gospel, we sang about that little song introducing us. It says this is the way to live, is repent. No longer do I act like I'm king of my life, that everything I'm going to get and achieve in life is because of my own talents, my own energies. And I really admire many of you, and I've heard some of your stories, how you've been knocked down, and then you come back up, and I'm talking more of your employment, your businesses, and different struggles you've had. But the difference between a Christian who's really loving Jesus knows that my business is in your hands. What do I do now that this has failed? How do I go the next day? Versus the bragging and your own achievements. So repent means I give everything to God, glory to God, everything I've done, accomplished, everything. Whether it's my sporting achievement, my vocational goals I've achieved. And here's the verse mentioned. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, eat with him, and he with me. Now this is a message to Christians. We can be busy about doing church, but we don't really open the door to do life with Jesus. little slow today. I got this capable thing. But one of our songs we were singing was a new one. It was nailing it. You know, it was nailing it. The relationship with you is so precious. I understand that. And so I just don't say, hey, I'll open the door for Jesus. We'll hang out, you know, on Sunday mornings, 10 to 12. No. It's open the door, and he's going to do what? He's going to come in and eat with me. He's not going to spit me out. He's going to sit down and have a great meal with me. I had some great meals in the last 10 days, maybe too many. Really beautiful food. But you know what really makes the meal is not just the delicious morsels. It's the first people you're with. And I've also heard people say that they're not included in such a meal. How do you think Jesus might be? He created us. He loved us. He made us to be in relationship to him. And he said, look, I stand at the door and knock. And don't just do church. I want to be your center value of everything that you do. Whether you play sports, whether you go shopping, your relationships, you know, if you're still single, who you date, if you're married, you know, to love that wife and to love that husband in a godly way, to raise our kids up for Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him. I'll come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Yeah, there's many, many artistic expressions of Jesus at the door. But what do you got to do? You got to open up, right? That's all it is. It's pretty simple. You can't buy what he has to offer. You can't do enough good things, and then Christ will say, I'll open the door if you'll do enough good things. No, all I want to do is be God. I want to be the Lord of your life, and I want you to understand what you were made for, to reflect that glory by my Spirit dwelling in you. So you know it's not literal, you know, hey, Jesus, my door's open, I'll go home and I'll leave my door open, hopefully you'll come in this afternoon. No, it's here. It's right here. Now you ask yourself, you know, is anybody knocking at you? Has he got full reign in every room of your house? Are there certain rooms that one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. So the life of an overcomer at Laodicea, we're saying, you're not lukewarm, but you're hot. You're zealous for the Lord. And actually, that word zealous comes from the root word for hot. So be hot for the Lord. You know, we talk about being on fire for the Lord. Pam refers to the choir, our Philippine choir, as a choir, fire choir. And that's a good thing. So that's what we're getting at. We don't want to be just lukewarm. We want to be passionate Christians. And this is what he's saying, you know, passionate, yet because we are doing what? We're relating to Christ. We open our heart to him, and we have friendship and fellowship with Christ. It's not about keeping a bunch of rules and losing out on life. It's about experiencing real life as we relate to Christ. So the one who conquers, what will happen? I will give him to sit with me on my throne. You know, Christmas is coming, and you see all these kids sit on Santa Claus's knee. Is that what he's saying? You know, come on, you can sit on my knee and tell me your Christmas list. Nah. Sitting on the throne is ruling. And he's saying, hey, look, you know, if you overcome and if you really understand that this is a temporal life, yes, God expects you and I to go to work, and he expects you and I, if we're in business, to do well, and we try to make as much profit as we can in a moral way, to share those proceeds with the world and bless the world, not just my family, but to bless the world, and that will include taking care of my family. I'm going to die. My sons and daughters are going to die. My grandchildren are going to die. And then what happens? You know, and Christ is saying, look, if you really, you know, submit this whole lordship thing, everything is mine. All your life is mine. Your finances, your relationships, your home life, everything is mine. And you know what? You be an overcomer, and you trust in me and who I am, what I've said about what I've done. I've created the world. I've saved the world. I'm coming again to judge the world. I'm going to create a new heaven and earth. You stick with me, and you know what? You are going to rule with me on my throne. Give up your small ambitions. See the riches you have in Christ. He who has an ear, let him hear what he said. Spirit. Fill this place with your atmosphere. You hear? Stands for truth tirelessly. I don't quit standing for truth. This is from our other churches. We've got these messages. Holds to their first love, my love for Christ. I hold to that. And it's my love for people. Now, how can I say I love God when I don't love this guy sitting right in front of me? You know, what's going on? I'm a liar. The truth's not in me. We love our first love, Christ, and we love his people. We hate what God hates. Today, he hates people who are very prideful and bragging about their achievements and not grateful to him. We share in Christ's suffering, and if the more you're hearing the new news from out of China right now as the church is undergoing more persecution, arrest, and fines, etc., from our friends across the border. We say no to idolatry and immorality, and in this day and age, yes, there's all kinds of idolatry and immorality in which we're being tempted. And you know, this little smartphone, everything. Crying out, you need to buy this, you need to buy that, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to experience this, and do this. You get bombarded with idolatry and immorality. But we say no by the grace of God. We say no. We hold on to God's word. That is our guiding light. How do we know what is really right and wrong? Trust the Amen, true and faithful witness, the Creator, who has given us Scripture. And we do not deny the name of Jesus. I left this one out. I just thought I'd go. This morning, as I was coming to church, I saw the little guy who does our garbage. And he was wearing a black baseball cap. And the black baseball cap had truth, black with white letters, T-R-U-T-H, big capital letters. This guy, you know, he's kind of a character, and I said, hey, Joseph, I said, do you know what your cap means? And he said, no, I didn't. Then I got closer, and I looked at it, and it says, in small little letters, I am the truth, big letter, truth, big letter. And I said, you know, you're saying you're the truth. We hold on to the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. We never deny his name. You know what? I didn't exactly tell him that. So when I go back, I was rushing the bus, you know, and everything, trying to process, why is this guy wearing a ball cap truth? But I could go back to that guy and say, you know, there's only one person who could really say that. And that's Jesus. So don't deny his name. We can deny his name all kinds of things. But if you're hot, if you're on fire for Christ, you're going to talk about Jesus all the time to different people, you know, whoever it is. And you're not going to be obnoxious when you do it. You're going to be kind and gentle and genuine. But hopefully, your friends will know him. He's one of those Jesus guys. The life of the champion keeps the door of his heart wide, always open to the Lord. The door of my heart is always open. That's what Jesus wants me to live. That's what he wants you to live by. So let's ask ourselves, okay? Knocking at the door. Is DVITC zealous or fired? Perhaps the better question is, are you or am I zealous for Jesus? Is our love for and life with Christ one and sealed? Every day I live for you. Well, some of you are ready to go to sleep, others of you are thinking, okay, I'm trying to process this. What does this all mean to me today, James? Okay. Process it and just do this. Okay? Let's pray. Father, it's by your indwelling Holy Spirit that I or anyone sitting here today and worshiping before you to be people who are zealous because we've experienced you. We don't want to exclude you from our life, Lord, and I pray this for myself. I pray it for my dear wife, Bonnie, and my children. I pray it for the DVICC family, and that many more in this Discovery Bay community would come to know what it means to open the door and live with you and be blessed by you. That it's not about religion. It's all about relationship with the living Almighty God, who cares so much for us that he would reprove us. Lord, is there anyone here today in my heart? What rooms need to be cleaned up and repented for? These are your people. These are the sheep of your good pasture. You know them. And they hear your voice. So, Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart and the hearts of my friends. And as we live this week, we'll do it every day with Christ before me. It's in his name.